We continue our learning. Le'ilu nishmas hidul bas el yakim ha-kohen, David ben Menachem, Munish and Chaim Yaakov, and Pinchas Eliyahu. We're in Shvi'ez Perek Hei, Mishnah Gimel. Very important to introduce the concept of biur. Biur literally means destruction, but not the same as biur chametz exactly. When Shemitah produce is not available in the fields, it says, v'lithem techov l'achaya asher ba'artzecha, d'yeh koltivu asola echol. We learn in from the Chumash of Parshas Bahar, that only when the produce is still left in the field for the animals, so that's when we're able to eat it. However, once it's and we don't have to destroy it, quote unquote destroy it. But once it's no longer available for the animals in the fields, and you can see nowadays in Eretz Yisrael they have the dates for the different fruits when they're no longer available for the animals in the field. Then you have to go through the process of biur. The halakha is whatever has been gathered and stored in the house has to be removed from the house and made hefker, declared ownerless. That is a form of biur. Having the Rambam understands that biur actually means literally destruction. We don't possibly like the Rambam in Eretz Yisrael. They do biur, bring it out to the street, and declare that it's hefker. And afterwards, halakha is actually you can take it back for yourself. Now, in the Mishnah, in the ninth parak, we'll learn machlokes as who is able actually to take the produce after beer, after your mafkir. Rabbi Yehuda says is that he's machmir. Only poor people can actually use the shemitah fruit and after the biur. And Rabbi Yossi says no, anybody can. It's not a problem for anybody. According to Rabbi Yehuda, so after the time of biur, if the produce is now something belongs, the is actually the property of the aniyim. According to Rabbi Yossi, and we'll see an important difference between them in the Mishnayos. According to Rabbi Yossi, the obligation of biur, what does it mean? It's not, I'm not being mafkir and it now belongs to the aniyim. It's a formality. I go through that process of being mafkirit, but the original owner can then reacquire it after he is mafkirit, after he does the biur. So we'll see, our mission will reflect those two positions. Rabbi Elazar actually will follow the strict opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that it only can be taken by the aniyim after biur. And Rabbi Yeshua, we'll see, will follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Now, one other thing to know is that the halacha only applies to items that are that have particular seasons. There are certain things that maybe have no particular season, and they're always available in the fields for the animals. So that we'll discuss those as well, and that's what we're going to mention later on also in the seventh parak. We'll speak about the luf, this particular onion, which will be the subject of our Mishnah as well. So it says the Mishnah, luf she'avar alav shvi'is, I have a luf. It grew during the Shemitah year, and now it's still growing in the eighth year. So the leaves of the luf part of it grew in the Shemitah year, part during the eighth year. And the Mishnah now wants to know, how do I address them, considering that they have partially grown in the seventh year, partially in the eighth year? So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Imlak Tuha Niemes Alav Lakatu, if the poor people collected its leaves, then they have been considered picked, vimlav, and if not, yaseh cheshbonim aniyim, you have to make some calculation, some accounting with the poor people. What does it mean? So the Eliezer says like this, if all the leaves of the luf, which these are leaves that grew during the Shemitah year, partially during the Shemitah year. So, actually should say that. I have a luf, and I have leaves that grew during the Shemitah year, and leaves that grew into the eighth year as well. So if you are able to identify the leaves that grew particularly in the Shemitah year, and they're picked by poor people during the Shemitah year, so this has the status of produce to some extent. So now when the leaves that are sitting on the plant, on the luf, are eighth year leaves, so there's no problem at all, because the eighth year leaves are not subject to the laws of Shemitah, and the seventh year leaves were taken by the poor people, so then we're fine. But if not, vimlav, the poor people didn't take all the luf leaves of the Shemitah year, so now they continue to grow the Shemitah year leaves, continue to grow into the eighth year. These aren't just eighth year leaves. These are Shemitah leaves that continue to grow because the poor people did not pick them in the seventh year. So now we have a mixture of seventh year and eighth year leaves. So that's going to be an issue. And therefore, what do you have to do? You have to make a cheshbon. The owner of the field, he can't take the leaves for himself, not all of them, when he takes them in the eighth year. He has to figure out what proportion of the leaves, is Shemitah, was grown in the Shemitah year, and what proportion grew in the eighth year. And if you can make that accounting, so then he should has to give the amount, the value of that from the Shemitah to the poor people. Why is that so? So this is Rabbi Eliezer according to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. After the beer, we assume he did the beer during the Shemitah year. So now what happens after that? So Rabbi Eliezer obviously holds that even if though he did beer on the leaves, they're no longer available for the animals, let's say in the field. Nonetheless, the only poor people are able to take it. So whatever that remains on the tree that are Shemitah are actually belong to the poor people. And if so, you have to pay them. Now, this is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. One thing, to keep in mind is that the Rash wonders why the seventh year leaves should have the status of Shemitah produce at all. That's produce. These are greens. These are vegetables, leaves, whatever it is. When it comes to those, we usually follow the year that they're picked. And since they're only picked in the eighth year, they shouldn't be subject to the laws of Shemitah at all. So the Rash says that it's an interesting, very creative way to explain the Mishnah. What happened was at the end of the Shemitah, the farmer actually took the luf plant out of the ground. So it was officially picked, but it's just lying on the ground. And as it was lying on the ground, there were new roots that grew, and it began to grow a little bit in the eighth year. So that's why I have a growth, although it was officially picked, meaning it was uprooted. But I have a mixture of seventh and eighth year fruit produce. But other Rishonim say that's not the issue. You have to keep in mind the loaf is an onion, and so it's true. When we speak about vegetables, greens, whatever, the leaves should actually follow the year that they're picking. But the loaf we treat like a legume, like kidneys, and those are defined by when they're chayev in maestros. That's not by the year of the picking. So and the leaves are almost tufil, so to speak. And therefore, they follow they will follow the loof plant in general. The leaves which matured, let's say, during the seventh year will be Shemitah produce, but those that matured in the eighth year will not be Shemitah produce. I don't necessarily have to treat it as the vegetables. I can treat it like kidneys. Fine. Now, there also is a very interesting discussion about Bittul Berov. We're not going to get into the specifics. But if you think about the fact that part of it is seventh year, part of it is eighth year, can I assume? Well, let's see what the majority is. And one of the interesting answers is that we can't apply the concept of Bittul Berov, nullifying the majority, when it comes to a legal issue. When it comes to Isser Veheter, yes. But here we're talking about what belongs to the Anim, what doesn't. I can't just assume, well, the majority is eighth year produce, so that it's not, no, that I get to keep it, I don't have to give it to the Anim. This is a halachic Dini Mamonos issue. And Bittul Berov will not apply. Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, we'll see Rabbi Yeshua reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who says that no, after beer, anyone can take it. So imlak to aniim esalav lakatu. If the aniim took collected and picked all of the leaves, the eighth year, the seventh year leaves, the shemitah leaves, fine, they took it. Vimlav ein laniim alav cheshbon. You have to make an account with the aniim. You have to worry about them at all. Why? Because after beer, it's shayach for everybody. Everybody has a lot of habit. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua. Mishnah continues. Perakei Mishnah Dalid. Luf shel erev shviyus shenichnas lishviyus. Now we're talking about the luf, this luf plant, this onion. And we're talking about now where it finished growing actually before the Shemitah year. And no new growth actually happened in the Shemitah year. So this is not Shemitah at all. Nonetheless, the Mishnah is going to teach us that when you dig it up, you have to dig it up in a certain way that it doesn't look like you are working the land. Assuming you're digging it up in the Shemitah year, you make sure that it doesn't look like you're working land. So again, it completed its growth in the sixth year. It's a 6-year loof. Nonetheless, when I'm I want to take it out of the ground in the Shemitah, you have to be careful that it doesn't give the appearance that I'm working the land. So, Luf Shel Erev Shvias of the 6th year, Shenichnas the Shvias. Now you want to take it out of the ground in the 7th year, V'chein B'tzolim HaKetzonim, and the same thing would be true regarding summer onions, which is, they plant them in the early summer, and they finish growing at the end of the summer. So, that's one way to explain it. Either way, the onions were finished in the summer of the 6th year, but you didn't dig them out of the ground until the Shemitah year. So, same thing we have to worry about. V'chein pur shalidis. What's that? So, we've mentioned this before. Pur is matter, M-A-D-D-E-R, where we would use the roots of them for a red dye. So if this was growing in the soil, once again, people would think that if you're uprooting it, you're preparing the land for growth. If it were planted in a rocky area, you wouldn't have to worry about this, where it's in a very fertile area. So again, what should I do with all of these three things? With the loof, the 6th year loof that you're taking out of the ground in the Shemitah year, the B'tzolim, the Haketzonim, these special type summer onions, that finished in the 6th year, and I want to take them out of the ground in the 7th year, and then the pur shalidis, this dye, this matter, in fertile soil. Be'shamayomim okrin osan b'ma'arufos shel eitz. You uproot them with spades of wood. What does that mean? So, I have to be careful. You're not allowed to use any metal, a metal utensil, which I normally would use to dig them up. That would look like you're working the land. So what would we use? We use wood. We actually remind we have of a Mishnayos in Beitza, where there's a difference between using where we use wood, and that may be considered different when it comes to certain kalim, as well when it comes to tochein. Uveisil omrim bikardumos shel matachos. Beisil says they're more lenient. They say you're allowed to use a metal instrument, but it's a like a pickaxe. You're allowed to use, but not the classic thing that's being used. So this is some type of change of shinui. A metal shovel would not be allowed, but something like a mattock, a pickaxe, and the like would be permitted. Modin b'purash, and back to very, also like Beitza, where Beis Hillel actually is more lenient, when it comes to the malach of tochein, of grinding on yontif, in the same type of thing, the same type of utensils that we're allowed to use. But still, we can't use the exact implement. Modin b'purash al tzlos, sheokrin oso b'kardumo shel matachos. They agree. Sounds like Beit Shammai, Beis Hillel agree. If you have this pua, this matter, M-A-D-D-E-R, this plant that I use for a dye, that I'm allowed to uproot it with cardumos, with axes of metal, with regular items, Beit Shammai would agree, because no one would think that I'm working the land in such a case, because it's rocky, and everybody knows slows, like with the tzadi, is almost like slows with the samach, according to some, that would be permitted, because no one's going to think that I'm planting here, because the area is very rocky.